Good morning. I'm very excited to come this morning and share God's word with you. Before I begin, I don't know about you, but this week has been one of the most defining weeks, as we know, in our country. And I clearly felt that this morning, we shouldn't move too quickly, but actually just take a moment in the service and pray for our country. Because our country needs prayer in this time. Don't you think so? I believe so with all of my heart. And so I want to just ask if you can please stand and maybe grab two or three people around you. And I want us to pray that God's will be done in our country. That in our country, the things that God wants to be fulfilled and to be done, that those things will be done. That we will have leaders of integrity, leaders of character. That we will be in a place where we know that God is the one who's leading our country. And so our dependence is not on a person, but it's on God. Is that fine? Can we just pray in our groups, please? Two or three people, just to pray. God, we thank you for our country. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man avails much, and then it changes things, and we are also called to pray for our country, for our leaders. And so I believe that with all our prayers this morning, that God will answer our prayers, that his kingdom will come, and his will be done in our country. Amen.
Amen.
On a lighter note, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Your Royal Highness, Queen of Baganda Tribe from Uganda. Can she please stand and she waves and say hello? Her name is Sylvia Loswata, and we just wanted to say welcome. Welcome in our family. Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, I'm very excited because we've been talking about Acts, the book of Acts, and what the book of Acts is about, and how the church was formed, and all those things. And so we've learned a lot around the book of Acts. Pastor Louis, last week, he was sharing also around the Acts and the things that took place in the time, and the things that they did, and the courageous things that they did to advance God's kingdom. And so it's been very exciting. It's exciting going through the book of Acts. I don't know about you. It's a big story with a lot of details, but really, for me, it's been so significant. And so this morning, I wanted to share with you, there's something that takes place in Acts chapter 21 up to 26. And this is a place where Paul finds himself in the middle of a challenge. And like every good movement, and this movement that was happening of the kingdom of God coming, the gospel of Jesus Christ being spread, those things were a big deal in the day because there was an accustomed way of doing things religiously. But now, there was difference in the way that Paul was talking, in the way that other disciples were talking about it. And so we see that in Acts, there was an establishment of the church, there was the fellowship of the brethren, they were sharing bread, they were sharing life together. But like every good movement, there's opposition. And so I want to actually read for you, and we're going to focus on Acts 23 this morning, but I want to read for you from verse 6. It says, then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees. Now, Paul is is right in front of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is a council of guys that were going to be posing, like a Supreme Court judges that were there. And so they were sitting there and they were saying to Paul, Paul, you are saying some things about the gospel. We don't agree with these things. Why are you going on like this? They wanted to find out more information from him. And so what happened was, when Paul was in front of them, he started to talk to them. And in verse 6, it picks it up from there because now he has to stand in defense. Why does he say that there is a resurrection of the dead? Why is he going on about Jesus and all those things? And so from verse 6, it says, then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees. Remember, he's in trouble. He's in front of the judges who are about to convict him of a crime because of his busy challenging the Jewish customs of the day. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin and the Sadducees says, my brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Why is this statement critical? The Sadducees, believed, there were a group of leaders, religious leaders, who believed that there was no resurrection. And the Pharisees were the leaders who believed that there is resurrection. Now, this group of leaders, they hold different views, and now Paul stands in front of him, and he's in trouble because he now is going to be convicted if this goes south. And then so it says that he says to them that he's got a hope of the resurrection of the dead. Then verse 7, it says, when he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. Why was it divided? Because they were holding opposing views about the resurrection. And so now there's a fight. Someone is pulling Paul this way, someone is pulling Paul that way. And so in verse 11, Paul now is in this barracks, in the jail of the day, and he's in this place. And the Bible says that the following night, now that's the night after this whole thing took place, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify for me in Rome. So the title for my message this morning, when facing opposition, take courage. When facing opposition, take courage. And so I don't know where you're at this morning and where you are in regards to your courage. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you're fine. Maybe you're up there. I don't know. But the message this morning in verse 11 is our key verse for this morning. The Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And so I thought about this thing of courage and what it means. I know for a fact when I'm disappointed or when I'm going through difficult times, I don't always feel courageous. I don't always feel that I can do what I need to do to take the next step. And so I battle and I feel always so disappointed because I feel like I need a little bit more. And so I felt like when I was busy preparing the message, that how about we take courage like a vehicle? Like we have different kind of vehicles. We have Toyota, BM, we have Honda, we have all different cars. What about we take a vehicle and we call courage a vehicle, like a car? And this car has a number plate. And the number plate is X23 GPP. X23 GPP. And so in this car that we get into, because remember, when you're discouraged and when you're dismayed and disappointed about things, and when you are facing opposition, you will feel so discouraged. You can't do much. You need someone to come around. And I feel like this car is going to be the one where you come in and the Lord is the driver. How's that? The Lord is the driver of this car. He says, come in and get in this car, I will drive you. Because when you're down and when you're discouraged, like Paul was in this circumstance, he needed courage. I wonder what went through his mind when the Lord appeared and he was there with him. And he says, take courage. As you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you shall also testify for me in Rome. And so we're going to work on this number plate. Is that okay? We're going to work on this courage. We're going to work on this courage. And so the courage I wanted to speak about this morning is the fact that G on the number plate, if you can put it up again, please. G on the number plate stands for God will guide. God will guide you. When you're facing opposition, God will guide you. Because he's the one in charge. He's the one driving, isn't it? He's the one who's got the steering wheel. He's turning left, he's turning right. He knows where you need to be. Interesting enough, the Lord stands near Paul and he says to Paul, take courage. As you have testified for me. It means as you've done for me before, you will also do also in Rome. It means it wasn't dependent on Paul. It was dependent on the Lord. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you feel like, yes, man, I need God's guidance. I don't know where I need to, what I need to do next. I don't know where I need to be. God says he will guide you. As long as you climb into this car and you take your seat and you let him drive, God will take you to your destination. He said it to Paul. He said to Paul, Paul, as you've done it in Jerusalem, you will do it again for me in Rome. I don't know if you are here this morning and you're going, God, I need your guidance. Help me, Father. I need you to guide me. You need the Lord to come alongside. I want to encourage you. Climb into that vehicle. Let the Lord guide you. And so this morning, God wants to guide you. How does God guide you? How does God guide you? God, he guides you by giving you wisdom. In this situation, he said one sentence, and the sentence caused all the confusion. that he couldn't even do by himself. He just said one sentence and there was confusion. Why was there confusion? Because God gave him the wisdom to bring confusion, because these guys were planning bad things for him. And so I want to encourage you this morning that God will give you wisdom. In your situation where you are, God will give you wisdom. Because when you are facing opposition, don't you agree with me when I say you will need his wisdom? Don't you agree when I say you will need his guidance? The second point I want to raise around God guiding you, if you remember in the Bible, Moses, how he led the Israelites. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and into the desert, how God was always there guiding them. The Bible says that God was the cloud by day and he was the pillar of fire by night. God can be your cloud by day. God can be your pillar of fire by night because he wants to guide you. I want to share a little bit of a story with you. I remember when I was still young, years back, I took a taxi, but I was going into this place I didn't know, the area I didn't know well. And so I took a taxi, and normally in South Africa, there are two people who know where everywhere you need to be. They know everything about the places where you need to be. If you are lost, back then we didn't have GPSs, maps were rare, and so I needed to get to this other place, and so I didn't know how to get there. The main two people who know where to get there and how to do it, it's the guy at the petrol station. He knows exactly where other places are around the area. He knows the streets. He knows what's happening around there. The guy at the petrol station, petrol attendant, they know exactly. And the second guy who knows where you need to be, even get there via shortcuts, the taxi driver. Those two people know exactly where you need to be. And so I trusted the taxi driver, and I went to him and I said, and I've done this before. So I went to him and I said, hi, I'm going to this place. Do you know how to get there? Normally they will say, yes, I know. Just let me know when you are close and then we will get there. I will show you where the place is. So I got into the taxi. And now I'm sitting at the back. I'm chilled, relaxed. Hey, man, people are busy climbing off, but this taxi driver is not saying anything to me. So I'm getting nervous. I'm thinking, I think I'm getting lost here. So I finally asked him, I said, sorry, am I there yet? He says, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm like, no, man. So he stopped another taxi there. And I realized later that it's not because he didn't know. It's because he was new. So he didn't know the area well. And so he stopped the other taxi, and he said to the other guy, listen, I've got someone who's going to this place. Do you know where that is? And I'm like, oh, man, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say to me, you don't know where this place is, and find someone? But instead he said, no, just let me know, and I'll show you the place. And now I had to climb out, get into another taxi. And so this guy was not a reliable guide, but our God is different. He's a reliable guide. When he's driving and you're the passenger, you better know you're going to get there, because God is faithful. He's faithful. You're going to get there. Because he says to Paul, as you've testified for me in Jerusalem, you shall also testify for me in Rome. It's a done deal. And so when facing opposition, trust God to guide you. That's the first point. God will guide you. God will guide you. Our second point, and I wanted to highlight it for you, it's in Acts 23, from verse 12 to 22. We're not going to go through all the scriptures. I just want to highlight it for you. In verse 19, it says, the commander is the guy that was responsible for Paul to make sure that he was looked after in that place. And so what happened was, in this scenario, there were guys who were busy planning that Paul would be killed. And they were planning a plot against him, and they were saying to each other, if we can just get him out, we will get him and then we will kill him, because he cannot go on and speak about God like this and the resurrection and things like that. He's causing confusion. And so over the time, there was a nephew, and this nephew of Paul, he overheard them saying these things, and so he knew what they were planning to do. And so in verse 19, we want to pick it up from there. It says, the commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside and asked, what is it you want to tell me? The commander asked. He said, some Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request. Verse 22, the commander dismissed the young men with this warning: don't tell anyone that you've reported this to me. And so certain things took place. There were guys planning a plot against Paul. Paul was not even there, but his nephew overheard the conversation and he went to tell Paul, and Paul referred him back to the commander. Now the commander has heard this whole thing. And so I felt that actually in this whole scene, it's interesting because Paul is doing nothing. He's in jail, but God is busy orchestrating this whole thing. I want to encourage you in a situation where you are. God is creating a plan for you to come out of that situation. He's creating a plan, he's orchestrating and putting things together for you, because he loves you. And so it continues to say that from verse 12 to 22, it says, God will expose the enemy's plans for you. God will expose the enemies, because he exposed the enemies through Paul's nephew. And so he exposed him. He exposed him and said to him, listen, there's a situation being planned against you. And so he exposed him. And then my next point is, God will make a way out for you. I remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone in the country, when they heard a noise of some sound from an instrument, that they needed to come and bow before the golden idol that he had created. And so in that time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in a place where they couldn't worship this, because they didn't agree with it. And so some people knew that they were not worshiping, and so they went to tell the king. And so King Nebuchadnezzar called them in and says, guys, I hear this is the situation. Sorry, it's my paraphrase. Guys, I hear this is the situation. You want to worship when the sound goes on. It will be good if you do that. And they said, king, we won't worship the idol. We won't bow before your statue of gold. And so King Nebuchadnezzar made the fire. We know the story. And he threw them in the fire. But before then, there are words that these young men say. They say, king Nebuchadnezzar, even if we are not going to be saved by our God, we believe that we will not be bowing before you. We're not going to bow before you, even if. And so God protects each one of us when we've given ourselves to him, when we've given our best to him. God will protect us. When we align ourselves with his purposes, God protects us. God was with Paul in this jail, in this place where he could be easily be destroyed, but God protected him because he was aligned with God's purposes. And I wonder where you're at this morning. I wonder if there are things that you feel, man, I just need God's protection in this situation. God, I need you to come in and protect me. I need you to help me to have a way out of the situation. I want to encourage you this morning. God wants to protect you. He protects you not because of you are doing wonderful things or you deserve it. He protects you because he loves you, because he wants the best for you, because you align yourself with him, because you want the purposes that God has for you. And so there's a need for you to respond to God. I've spoken now so far about God being your guide. I spoke also about God protecting you. And I feel like I need to stop right here and just ask if there's any of you in this place who feel, God, I need your guidance. God, I need your protection. I would like to invite you to stand, please. And I want to pray with you. This God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he knows each one's needs and where you are. And God wants to guide you. God wants to protect you, not because of you deserve or anything, but because you are his and he loves you. Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. I want to thank you for who they are in you, Lord. Thank you that you have the best for them. I pray, Lord, that you will be their guide. Lord, I pray that you will be their protection. That God, in the midst of situations where things don't make sense, in the midst of the unclear, Lord, that you would make things clear for them. Father, I pray for your wisdom, your guidance in the situation. Thank you, Father, that you give wisdom, even in your word, Lord, that you will speak to each one of them. Thank you, Father, that as they leave this morning, they will have your wisdom, Lord, your courage, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we learned that in Acts 23, God is our guide, God protects us. And the other P, if we can please show that number plate again, because the number plate is important. We are in a vehicle that God is busy driving, and he's leading us. He's leading us to understand that he wants to guide, he wants to protect. But also, the next P, God wants to provide. He wants to provide. And so God is our provision, and I want to read the scripture. It's in verse 31 to verse 35. It says, so the soldiers carrying out their orders. Now, this is where the commander has heard the story from Paul's nephew. He has heard everything. And so he's now planning and putting a plan together that Paul must leave that very night, that he mustn't stay because there's a plan and a plot to kill Paul. And so in verse 31, this guy, the commander, is putting the things together so that he can transport Paul from where he was to the governor Felix of the day. And so it goes on from verse 31. It says, so the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Sicilia, he said, I will hear your case when your accusers get here. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under the guard in Herod's place. So if God guides and you're in this vehicle, and if God protects, then God provides. What did God provide? If you read the whole chapter, you will realize that there were about 470 troops, like soldiers, around Paul. I mean, this is one man, 470 surrounding him, and they were busy transporting him from one place to the other. And so God will provide a way for you. He will provide you with unmerited favor. When you're facing opposition, you can trust God that he will give you the favor that you need in your situation. And so in this time, Paul had favor. He was unmerited favor. He didn't deserve the favor that he received. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Be in a place where you are expectant of God's favor. Be in a place where you expect God to come through for you. It might be difficult when you're thinking, I've trusted God and I got disappointed in a situation and I didn't get his answer and I didn't get the outcome that I was looking out for. Can I tell you this morning, God doesn't change. He's not a man that he should lie or son of man, that he should change his mind. And so I want to encourage you that God, if there are the things that he has promised you, if there are the things that he has given to you, hold on to them with everything because he's the same and he won't change his mind. And so trust God. Trust God. Trust God for his favor. Trust God for his favor in your life. God also will put the right people next to you. He'll put the right people. He put the right people next to Paul, the commander, the troops around Paul. There were people surrounding Paul. Trust God for the right connections in your workplace, in your business, in your life, in your family. Trust God that he will put the right people because God wants to provide. I can imagine if you're sitting in this car with God and he's busy driving, what is the conversations that he's having with you? If you were to drive in a car with God and he would be physically there, you would see him, see his face, how he responds when you say something, I wonder how it will be like for you. Will you feel like God is with me or will you feel like he's not for me? I believe that you will feel differently. God will make a way for you. And so expect the unexpected from him. Expect that he will do over and above because you are in his will, because you are doing what you need to do to walk with him and to stick with him. So God guides, God protects, and God provides. Acts 23, GPP. That's the vehicle you're driving in with God, your vehicle of courage. And so stick with it. Hold on to it. Because when you are facing opposition, take courage. I wanted to grab a chair, but I'll sit on this one if it's fine. When I'm in a car with someone who's a driver, And I'm sitting down and they are driving. Unless if they start to go over the speed limit or something, I'll get nervous. But I can imagine that if you think with me, the Lord is busy driving and you see opposition is coming your way and you start to wonder, are we going to get through that speed hump, or are we going to be able to overcome this steep hill, whatever that it might be. I wonder if it's not sometimes that you feel like that. I sometimes feel like that when people are driving and I'm a passenger. I don't know why. I almost drive with them. I don't know if you've had the situation where you sit down and you're driving with a person, you are putting in the clutch, you're putting in the brakes, you feel like you're coming too close to another car. I sometimes feel like that. And so I wonder if you would feel the same way if the Lord had to drive with you in this vehicle of courage. And now suddenly you feel like you need to grab the steering wheel. No, Lord, this way. No, this way. No, that way. No, that way. I think that it will be almost offensive if you had to grab the steering wheel, isn't it? And so in our lives, we are encouraged that actually when we are with the Lord in the car, we relax, man. We chill. We take it easy because he's in charge. He got this. He doesn't have to. When God guides, he doesn't need a GPS. He created a GPS. When God guides, he doesn't need someone to show him where he should be going. He knows where he needs to be going. But more than that, he knows where you should be going. Hey, how's that? It's like such a cool thing, because God is guiding you. When you are in a situation where you feel vulnerable, you don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to make it happen. What are you making it happen? God makes it happen. He's your protector. He's your keeper, the sustainer. He's the one who says that I know your tomorrow. He's the one who says that I'm the same God that was there with Jeremiah when he said to Jeremiah, I've got your future. I've got your future and a hope for you. What future is that? It's the future with him. It's the future in where you need to be going. So God is not always bothered by anything. You relax in God's presence. You understand that he's able. He's chilled. He's in charge. And he's talking to you, not from a place of panic. Can you ever wonder God panicking? I'm thinking of the situation that we've been going through now in our country, for example. Do you think God panics? Do you think God goes, it's someone else, reshuffling. Hello. Who are we worshiping here? Who's in charge here? Who are we worshiping here? That's the most powerful God. He created the heaven and the earth. This is the same courage God. Who's this? Who's this God? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Your walk with God, it should be a place of an encouragement, because God is in charge. He's driving. God is in, he says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will raise the standard. For who? For you. For me. For our country. He will raise the standard. God, he is not puzzled by anything. And so I want to encourage you, when facing opposition, take courage, because he knows where you need to be. He said to Paul, as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, you shall also do in Rome. It didn't depend on him. It depended on God. If God has given you promises, if God has spoken to you about certain things, let him be the one who gets you there. Don't help him. No, this way, Lord. No, that way. Don't help him. Let it go. It's like when I take my clothes to the dry clean. I don't wonder, will they wash it properly? Will they be doing it fine? Is it going to be too hot for my jacket or for my shirt? No, man. You drop the stuff there, you leave it. And you come back and your clothes are clean, isn't it? It should be the same with God. If he's driving, let him drive. I should be fine with it. And so, when facing opposition, take courage. Climb into that car and take your passenger seat. And unlike me, when I got lost because the guy was new, God is not new in this game. God is not new in this game. He's been doing it for thousands of years. He's not puzzled by anything. And so I want to encourage you, please be in a place. God is for you. Who can be against you? Who can be against you? I want to bring it to a close and say that God will give you unmerited favor, because he provides unmerited favor. He will put the right people in your path. And your destiny and safety will be assured. Your destiny and safety will be assured. And so if you are feeling this morning, yeah, but I've heard this before. I don't know where or how God will do it. I've been disappointed before. I felt I've been disappointed by God before. He didn't come through as he promised or as I felt he should have come through. Can I tell you that God, he feels with us, he cries with us, he said with us. He sometimes gets angry, but the Bible says he's slow to anger. So he gets angry at things. But in this life, I'm realizing more and more, the more I grow up, the more I walk with the Lord, that I won't know everything. That I won't know everything that needs to be done and how it should be done. There are things that I will never have an explanation for. You know why? Because my faith doesn't lie with what I see, but my faith lies in Him. I know that I will not understand everything, but as long as I'm sitting in this car called courage, and he's the driver, man, I know for a fact I'm going to get there. I know for a fact that I'm safe in him. I know for a fact that he will keep me because God is for you. He's not against you. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Don't be in a place of panic. Be in a place of confidence. God guides. God protects. And God provides. Acts 23 GPP. That's the vehicle of the Spirit. That's the vehicle that we need to hold on to say, God, we need you. God, we need you. I would like to invite you to please stand with me. I want to share this quote with you because it's something that the Lord has really helped me over time when I cannot make sense of the challenges that I might be going through, when there's things that are really difficult and I cannot overcome in my own strength, that God puts me in this vehicle of courage and he takes me where I need to be. I cannot do it in my own strength. And so I felt over the years, over some time, this sentence has always brewed in me. And I just want to share it with you. Our circumstances do not define who God is. But our faith in him defines our character. Our circumstances do not define who God is. Our faith in him, we are not moved by sight, but by faith. By faith in him. And so I want to pray with you. If you're feeling this morning, God, I'm facing opposition. I need your courage. I want to encourage you, get into that vehicle. Let him drive. Let him take over. Let him lead you. Let him take you where you need to be. Take courage. Father, I pray for all of us, myself included, Lord, that when I face opposition, Lord, that I wouldn't look left or right, but I will just take a seat in you, Lord, in your vehicle of courage, where the number plate says X23 GPP. God, you will guide me. God, you will protect me. God, you will provide for me. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those that feel, I've trusted God, I looked up to him, I thought he would come through, that God, they would realize that their circumstances do not define who you are. But it's their faith in you, Lord, that it will define their character, Father. And so, Lord, I'm glad that we know you. What a privilege, Father. And so I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, from this morning, Lord, that we will all climb in, Lord, in your vehicle of courage, that we will allow you to drive, that we will remember when we see that number plate, GPP. God is with me. God will guide and protect and provide for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would like to encourage you, if you would like a time of prayer, the pastors, the elders, and the shepherds and the leaders will be here to pray with you. I want to encourage you, when facing opposition, take courage. X23 GPP. Bless you. Thank you.